faster. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I waited patiently upon the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear, and shall trust in the Lord. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh a bow and cutteth a spear in sunder. He burneth a chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Aren't you glad we have a refuge in God? You know, this year has gone by so fast. They used to tell me the older you get, the faster the time passes. I kind of believe that. Not that I'm old, but I kind of believe that. By the way, on about the second Sunday of January, I will have made 64 years in the ministry. And 64 years in marriage in May. That's May the 20th, if you'd like to make a note of it. My birthday's on August the 20th. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm saying all that to say it's a good thing to have people to love you. And you know, I sat there and I saw these and listened to these two young ladies come up to sing. You know, I knew them. I knew their parents before they were ever born. That really makes me feel old. And I enjoyed their music, didn't you? In fact, I just enjoy the music at Worth Baptist Church because it's the traditional music. It's not entertainment. It's not religious racket. It's not the contemporary scene. It's the old-fashioned songs like we sang, Leaning on the Everlasting Arm. The way of the cross leads home. Amazing grace. You can't beat that, folks, anywhere. Time is passing on. I know you heard this, but I'm going to tell you again. I know my mother used to say to my daddy, Rob, you just told that story two Sundays ago. He said, well, that's all right. I love to tell it. Little boy said to God, Dear God, how long is a second in heaven? And God said, Why, son, a second is a million years in heaven. A million years in heaven. Well, God, how much is a penny in heaven? And God said, Why, son, a penny in heaven is $1 million. The little boy said, "Dear God, could I have a penny?" And God said, "Wait a second." So just wait a second and I'll be airborne. Open your Bible with me, please. By the way, did I tell you that when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about tonight in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. As you're finding your place in the first chapter of the book of 1 Peter, I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's settled right here, and I'm going to read from this blessed old book that's so precious and so powerful and perfect and pure and pontifical and preserved for us in our own language. I'll read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5. And I'll read these verses after we pray. And now, Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for Thy timeless Word. We thank Thee for those who paid the price with their own lives. Millions of them martyred to bring us the Scripture as it is. We thank Thee for those who translate the Word into other languages where other people who cannot understand our English can hear the Word of God, believe, and be saved. Now I pray that the word would find lodging in our hearts. May we be reminded of the good things that thou hast done for us in this past year. And as we face the new year with new challenges, new opportunities, new responsibilities, may we face it with faith in the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who knows but what this coming year will bring his return. And if he doesn't come this next year, we'll look for him the next. And until we meet on the other side, we'll have that blessed hope beating within our breast. Help us now, I pray, in Jesus' name and for his sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away. Watch these next words, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we have some things that we talk about reservation. You know, my wife and I travel a lot, and we get to a motel, a hotel. They don't have to search all of our history and get the FBI records on us and all. We just sign a paper and go in. You know why? Because our reservation has already been made for us. And you know, there are reservations that have been made for us in heaven. And I love that fourth verse, reserved in heaven for you. The Christian life is lived on this earth in the midst of many trials and troubles and tribulations, a turbulent environment, politically, religiously, economically, in every measure that you can think. I'm reminded of what Paul said in describing the environment in his life And if it were bad then, we know that 2,000 years later, things have certainly not gotten any better. And he said in 2 Corinthians 4:8, we are troubled on every side. By the way, let me give you some good advice for trouble. Don't trouble trouble till trouble troubles you. For you only make your trouble double trouble when you do. And let me give you some more advice. Don't go around telling everybody about all of your troubles. Half of them won't believe it, and the other half will think you had it coming to you. You know, we can rejoice, ladies and gentlemen, that we are not earthbound creatures. We can rejoice that this world is not our home. We can rejoice that this is not our final dwelling place. We can rejoice that this is not where we'll spend eternity. I remember as a child growing up, and I've told you this before, but I love to tell it. We had a barbershop quartet in our family. Barbershop, you know. And we used to sing, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I'm glad that we're not living forever on this globe. It's contaminated. It's sinful. It's cursed. We can rejoice, ladies and gentlemen, that God has something far better for his blood-bought, blood-redeemed, blood-washed saints, and it's all reserved for us in a place called heaven. My daddy used to say I went with him to funeral after funeral after funeral after funeral as I was growing up. He almost every time said to the families and to the people around, you know, he said heaven is going to be a wonderful place because up there there'll be no taxes and the rent will never come due. That's good, isn't it? That's not all we're going to heaven for, but that certainly helps. Anything to escape the taxes that we're facing in this world. Heaven is that city that Abraham looked for, that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. A city that has a street of gold and walls of jasper and gates of pearl and foundation of precious stones. And by the way, there shall be no night there. And the Lamb shall be the light. I've entitled this message, Reserved in Heaven for You. Look again at verse 4. Five words especially I would call your attention to. Reserved in Heaven for You. We'll talk about some of those things that are reserved. And I'll begin by saying, if you'll stay tuned, the station B-I-B-L-E, which is first on your dial, you'll know what we got reserved in heaven. Number one, we have a day of perfect rest reserved for us in heaven. Hebrews 4:9 says, there remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. I'm sure that every person in this room at one time or another, if you've been grown long enough that you've grown weary and tired. We labor, we toil, we grow weary, we grow tired, and we long for rest. And we not only long for rest for our bodies, aren't you glad that God made night so we could have our bodies to rest? Some of you stay up all night and day too, and you sleep in church. I'm not going to be like the preacher said to the little boy. The preacher said, wake that man up. The little boy said, you wake him up yourself, you put him to sleep. But I'm saying we need soul rest. We need emotional rest, spiritual rest. There's but one source to get that rest. His name is Jesus. And I'm going to quote him on this last Sunday of 2014. In Matthew 11:28, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I myself will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Number two, We have a crown of pure righteousness. I just read the other day that Queen Elizabeth of England has a crown that has 2,000 diamonds in it, 200 pearls, 17 sapphires, 11 emeralds, and 5 rubies. But you know what, folks? That's not to be compared to the crown of righteousness which God will give us one day. Let me give you Paul's word for it. Paul looked over the battlements, over into the heavenly world, and he was led of the Spirit to write in 2 Timothy chapter 4 at verse number 6, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is in hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. And not to me only. That's where we come in now, folks. And not to me only, Paul said, but unto all them that love his appearing. Do you love his appearing? By the way, I read over in Hebrews 9:28, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin, without a sin offering, without a sacrifice, unto salvation. Unto them that look for him. Number 3. We have reserved for us a new environment without any sin, without any sickness or death or tears or pain or sorrow or suffering or heartache or crying. None of this will enter that city, and nothing that works a lie will enter that city. Nothing that's impure or unholy will enter that city. John describes it in the Revelation 21. At verse 1, where he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, coming down from heaven, from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But you know, John didn't stop there. He wrote also in the Revelation, Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. Oh, my friend, we don't have to face a second death. We may not even face a first death. Like the old fellow said, I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the uppertaker. And I think he's just about to split the sky. The way things are going around in this world today, I ask you how much longer. How much longer can it be when God's people are being oppressed all over the world? Did you know that there were more martyrs in the 20th century than there were in the first 19 centuries combined? Every day people are being martyred and murdered for their testimony of faith in Jesus Christ. More than 70 million since the days of Christ, most of whom were martyred because of their faith in this book. Don't ever take it for granted when you can open it and there it is, all printed out for you and bound up in leather, self-pronouncing, indexed and everything else, with a concordance in the back and an index in the back and a preface in the front. Don't ever take it for granted. Somebody paid a price with their own blood to bring it to you. I see in the next place, we have reserved for us a food supply that will never be exhausted. Pass the peanut butter, please. And throw in a few graham crackers. I know that every one of you know my incontrovertible, indestructible, infinite, inspired theological position on peanut butter. And here it is. Nobody goes to heaven who doesn't eat peanut butter. And if you want proof, look in the book of 1 Barbalonians, chapter 1, verse 1. Unless thou dost eat peanut butter, thou shalt in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, I remember when I was growing up, we had on our place a pear tree, an apple tree, a cherry tree, and a peach tree. But you know what? I never saw any peaches growing on the apple tree. I never saw any cherries growing on the peach tree. I never saw any bananas. But you know what? We've got a supply in heaven that will never be exhausted. Let me read it for you. Let me quote it for you, if I may. Revelation 22 at verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit every month. You know, we used to wait through the long winter in Virginia, and the warm spring, and the hot summer. And the apples came out, and the pears came out, and the cherries came out, and the peaches came out, and the birds came out. Everything came out when summertime came. But I'm saying to you, 12 manners of fruits, and bear their fruit every month? Give me a banana for breakfast this morning. Add a strawberry. Add an apple, a pear, a peach, a cherry, a tangerine, an orange, all 12 of them, bearing their fruit every month, an inexhaustible supply of food. We'll feast forever in heaven. Somebody said, well, do you think we'll eat in heaven? Certainly we eat on earth, don't we? I believe we'll do a lot of the same things in heaven that we're doing on earth. Now, I don't think there are any undertakers here tonight. But if there are any undertakers here, you'll have to get a new job. You won't be practicing your job in heaven because there'll be no death. I just gave you that. No death. No sorrow. No crying. No heartaches. No problems. No difficulties. I see something else. And this comes right out of my text, an inheritance that shall never fade away. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved for you, reserved where? In heaven. For whom? For you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. What a wonderful thought, ladies and gentlemen, to know. You know, when they give out the laurels in Paul's day for the Olympic Games, they were made just of leaves and things, and in two or three days it was all withered. But Paul talked about an inheritance that will not fade away, and Peter talks about it in my text, and Paul talked about it, never fade away. It will never dry up. It will never be out of style. It will be forever. incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Then I see we have a mansion prepared for us by Jesus. John 14, here I go, quoting Jesus. I'd rather end out this Sunday, last Sunday of the old year, quoting Jesus than anything I know. Quoting Jesus, John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a wonderful thing to know. When I can read my title clear to mansions in the skies, I'll bid farewell to every fear and wipe my weeping eyes. Should earth against my soul engage and fiery darts me hurled, then I can smile at Satan's rage and face a frowning world. What a blessed hope we have. I have one more thing and I'll be through. We have a grand and glorious reunion with our family and friends. And that'll not be long. Most of you know that just 3 weeks ago I buried my brother 2 years older than I am. I say it even though he's my brother, he's the finest Christian man I ever knew. Over 400 people passed by, and he wasn't a political figure, he wasn't a public figure, he was just a man, a father and a wife and a grandfather, a husband to his wife, a father to his children, and a grandfather to his grandchildren. 400 people plus passed by to view his remains. And over 400 attended his funeral. And all of us Barbara boys and a couple of the nephews had a part in the funeral. And you know, I think tonight, Brother Weaver, he won't be long. Every person in this room, I'm certain, has somebody in heaven. And all of us are looking forward. Grandma and grandpa and cousins and uncles and aunts and parents and sister and brother. And one of these days, we'll all be together. I have a guarantee of that, folks. Don't take my word for it. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel, the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, I like the nows and I like the thens. Then shall we be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. 10,000 times 10,000 in sparkling raiment bright, the armies of the ransomed saints throng up the steeps of light. It is finished. All is finished, their fight with death and sin. Fling open wide the golden gates and let the victors in. They're coming in, folks, and I hope you're ready to go in with them. There's going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet by and by, and God's own Son will be the leading one in that union. That meeting in the sky. Let's stand, please, for our prayer. Heads are bowed and the Holy Spirit is speaking. I don't know what's in your heart tonight on this last Sunday of this year that's been a marvelous year with us. Church has been blessed. God has blessed the ministry of the pastor and the assistant pastor, the music minister, the youth minister, the bus minister, the custodians, even the secretaries have been blessed. It took God a long time to make up his mind on some things. But I'm saying all this to say one day all the battles are going to be over. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. I wonder if you have something you'd like to just bring to the altar tonight. A prayer. Just a prayer, a burden. Something you want to thank the Lord for, that he did for you in the year 2014. I'm sure every person here has a special blessing, something God did for you in an unusual and special way. You say, but preacher, 2014 was one of the hardest years of my life. But let me tell you something, you didn't find yourself alone in it, because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll go with you all the way. We're going to sing a stanza or two of the invitation to appeal while our heads are bowed. Father, I pray that you'd speak to all of us tonight. There are broken hearts here tonight. There are bleeding hearts, disturbed hearts, troubles, problems, depression. Some need a job. Some need an increase in their wage. Some need a better environment in which to work. Some need a home, an automobile. You've got it all, Heavenly Father, and you're willing to share it all with us. And I pray that we'll see that tonight as we've never seen it. And look for that heaven that's reserved and all that's reserved for us, and that crown that's incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away. Bless those who've already come to this altar and some that are coming now, in Jesus' name, while we sing.